are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Ed, our head of Australian economics. Gareth, good to have you on today.
It's good to have another chat, Belinda, in another busy week.
It is. And well, next week will be even busier with two very important dates, one probably a bit more important than the other, and that is, of course, the federal budget and the RBA board meeting. But first we'll talk about the federal budget, because it is obviously a highly anticipated event, and probably more so at the moment, because generally we get the budget in May. That was delayed for obvious reasons at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. It was very hard to forecast what the economy would do. And the government was obviously very focused on the response to that. But we're finally going to get the budget on the 6th of October, which is Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Now, there's obviously, as there always is, a few leaks ahead of this, you know, some debate about what policies will be included, what policies won't be included. But what are you looking for in particular in the budget? Obviously, the number, the deficit's one of them, but what else are you focused on?
That's right. I think the first thing we'll look for is the actual projected deficit of 2020-2021. You know, in a lot of ways, that doesn't matter too much for the general public, but I think as economists, we want to see just how big that budget deficit actually is. One of the things that we do is try and project that, and we think we're looking at a deficit this financial year of somewhere around $220 billion, which is a bit over 11% of GDP. Now, that's quite a bit larger than what the government announced in the July economic and fiscal update. So if you recall, even though we didn't get the budget handed down in May, we did get an updated set of economic and fiscal forecasts in July. And there the government projected the deficit at $185 billion. Now, a few things have happened since then. The most notable one in terms of the economy is the lockdown in Victoria. That actually came into play not too long after the JEFU was actually published. So that alone is going to result in some additional expenditure. We think there will be some other things in the budget on the expenditure side, which will end up pushing up the overall expenses in the budget in 2021. And funnily enough, we also think there might be a little bit more revenue coming in, particularly around what's happened with commodity prices. I mean, the price of iron ore is materially higher today than what the government had forecast back in the July economic and fiscal update. The other thing too is spending looks like it's probably tracking a little bit better than the government projected. And also, we think the labour market's probably been holding up a little bit better too than what the government forecast. So a few different moving parts, but in terms of the deficit itself, we think it'll be, you know, somewhere around that $220 billion mark, which when you think about it, you know, this time last year, the government thought we'd be in a surplus, and it just highlights how big this economic shock has been and just how it's completely changed the economic outlook.
Yeah, it is really amazing just to see how much has changed in really nine long months in terms of just what the economy and everyone here in Australia has been through. Now, I think the focus also will be on what new policy announcements the government makes. Obviously, we've gotten through a lot of the worst of the decline in economic activity, and we've really moved forward to the recovery phase. And a lot of that will be how the government further supports the Australian economy, be that through income, be that through other, I guess, activity drivers. What are some of the new policy announcements that you think will be included in the budget?
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about this financial year, because a lot of the fiscal support that the government has brought in because of what's happened with COVID has actually already been announced. So even though we didn't get that budget back in May, we've had a whole suite of policies implemented by the government, which are actually which actually fall in this fiscal year. So I suppose those policies are still in there and they'll be part of the figuring. In terms of additional policies that we're looking for, you know, we're expecting to see tax cuts actually pulled forward. So the already legislated tax cuts that are due to kick in on 1 July 2022 look like they're going to be pulled forward. Now, we're not exactly sure what date they'll be pulled forward to, but obviously we're looking for clarity in the budget on that. But the most likely thing is that they're pulled forward to start on the 1st of July of next year. In terms of this financial year, I think we'll see a little bit more on the infrastructure side. I mean, the government has been pretty clear and pretty forthright in the communication on that. There's some more infrastructure spending coming, and that might take the form of funds distributed to the states to actually deliver that infrastructure. It looks like there's a business investment allowance coming. Not sure exactly what form that'll take, but obviously the intention behind that is really to support business investment. There's always some things that are saved for budget night itself. So the intention behind this entire budget really is support for the economy. We're at a stage right now where the idea of a surplus or the idea of kind of budget repair is very much a story for another day. And right now it's what can the government do? What kind of levers can it pull to support the economy?
And certainly the Reserve Bank of Australia has very much focused on fiscal policy to need to do the heavy lifting from here. We've had a lot of monetary policy support for the Australian economy since March, and even before that too, with rate cuts back through 2019. But I guess, you know, we are focused very much on how the numbers come in for 2020, 2021, but it's also the future trajectory that's quite important. How quickly will the government try to, I guess, reduce the budget deficit? Do you have any thoughts about how we could see those numbers play out over coming years, or kind of what the overall philosophy is for budget repair?
Sure. So the numbers will improve. The 2020-2021 fiscal year is going to be the big deficit, and from then on the profile will have an improvement in the budget. And what sits behind that is really the economic forecast. So one of the things as economists that we look at quite closely on budget night is what forecasts the government's put together, particularly around GDP, so the growth profile for the economy, and then also what their assumptions are around the labour market, and particularly now given we're in an economic downturn, what the assumption is around the unemployment rate, because that will actually feed into the projections then for the economy. So, what the government forecasts for revenue over the forward estimates period, which goes out 4 years, is very much dictated by what assumptions they make around GDP, and in particular nominal GDP, and then, of course, on the expenditure side, assumptions around unemployment and what's happening there in terms of welfare payments would clearly be an input into the expenditure side. So, look, on the basis of kind of no policy changes, we think that the budget deficit in 2021-2022 could be about half the size of the projected one for this fiscal year, so somewhere around $110 billion. And then in the outer years, it should shrink further. I think in terms of budget repair itself, what's interesting that's just emerged in the last week is that the Treasurer has basically said that they won't be looking at budget repair until the unemployment rate is comfortably below 6%. Our expectation is that the government is not going to forecast an unemployment rate of 6% or below until 2022-23. Now, I know that seems like a long way out, but given the nature of the economic shock and the fact that the economy is going to have a lot of spare capacity for an extended period of time, we think that unemployment rate not being forecast below 6% certainly for a few years means that we're not looking at budget repair for at least a couple of years. And I suppose in a lot of ways, as economists at the moment, we're not that concerned with what the government ends up projecting, in terms of the budget position 3 years out. There's so much uncertainty at the moment with how the economy will go. You think about all the changes in the last 6 months, that probably, the focus is really what are they projecting and what are they thinking on in a policy sense for this fiscal year and the next one.
And as our chief economist, Stephen Halmerich, likes to point out as well, the economic return on the lift in debt is worth the, you know, the 1% that the government is paying for that debt at the moment. So any measures to really help the recovery, reduce that output gap is well and truly worthwhile at the moment. Now, turning our attention to the Reserve Bank of Australia, and since we last spoke a week ago, there's been a lot of debate about what the Reserve Bank will do in October and really what their next policy step could be if they do want to ease policy further. Do you just want to talk through kind of what's happened over the past week and why, and then kind of what our thinking is around the RBA? Because I guess we've been a little bit different to what the market and consensus has been saying for the October meeting.
Yeah, look, it turned out to be a big week for domestic money markets last week. A lot bigger than we thought at the beginning of the week. And it really kicked off with a speech by Guy DeBell, the deputy governor, on Tuesday. And then it spilled over into Wednesday when a few analysts changed their view or came out with a view that the Reserve Bank was going to cut interest rates at the October board meeting. Then a few high-profile journalists wrote stories later on in the week saying that they thought a move in October looked premature. And so it created a whole lot of uncertainty in the market as to what actually is likely to happen at the October board meeting. If we just go back to the speech, so what DeBell essentially spoke about three things. He talked about the state of the economy at the moment. He talked about what the RBA has done to date, including he talked about in September there was the extension of the term funding facility. And then I suppose what markets were most focused on was when he talked about what more the Reserve Bank could potentially do from here. And he mentioned four things, so purchasing bonds further out of the curve, intervention in the foreign exchange market to lower the Australian dollar, cutting the structure of interest rates without going negative, and then negative rates themselves. Now, all four of those options had actually been canvassed before by Governor Lowe. So there wasn't actually anything new in that sense in the speech. Now, you could argue that perhaps the tone was a little bit different, but then, you know, potentially that just reflects the difference in tone between Governor Lowe and DeBell. But anyway, it sort of resulted in some analysts expecting then an October interest rate cut. You know, we're not in that camp. And I'm happy to say you sort of threw the logic behind why we think that they won't move. But as far as the October board meeting goes, we have them on hold.
We do, and I think there was no sense of urgency in DeBell's speech. I think it was very plainly spoken about kind of what the RBA's options are and what are some advantages and disadvantages of each. But certainly there was no urgency over needing to ease policy further. In fact, you know, they did ease policy at the September meetings through expanding their term facility funding for the banking system. But really, from here, I guess the debate really comes to what else could the RBA do to stimulate the economy if they so thought that was required. But in the meantime, they really are probably focused on fiscal policy doing the heavy lifting, which we will find out on the 6th of October after the RBA board meeting. But I guess, what is the RBA's preferred option from here?
Well, look, of those four options that were canvassed, I mean, two of them, I think they've been quite clear on that they don't think that there's a net benefit to implementing it. And specifically their negative interest rates. I mean, for a long time now, they've spoken around the cost of negative interest rates. And Governor Lowe, on more than one occasion, has said that he thinks it's extraordinarily unlikely that we have negative rates here in Australia. And the other thing that they've sounded like they're pretty unwilling to do, or they consider there to be very little benefit actually doing this, is intervening directly in the foreign exchange market to lower the Australian dollar. So there's probably a little bit less sort of certainty around you know, tinkering with interest rates and purchasing bonds further out on the curve. I think the door is probably a little bit more ajar on to moves there. But look, on the interest rates themselves, I mean, it's probably worth sort of going through, because that's where sort of a lot of the conjecture was during the week. Basically, at the moment, the cash rate target sits at 25 basis points, as does the target on the three-year government bond yield, and also the interest rate on the term funding facility. Now, some in the market who have called for cuts to interest rates are not just talking about cuts to the cash rate target. They're also talking about dropping the target on the three-year yield. The interest rate, which is paid on exchange settlement balances at the Reserve Bank, which is basically the bank accounts that the big retail banks here have with the central bank, and then also the rate on the term funding facility. But look, the cash rate target at the moment is 25 basis points, but the traded cash rate, which is the effective cash rate, is actually sitting at 13, 14 basis points. So the real cash rate out there at the moment is actually below the cash rate target. And so for the Reserve Bank to actually have a meaningful impact on pushing the traded cash rate lower, they would have to take it below where it actually is at the moment. So, you know, what that basically means is we're operating, or the Reserve Bank could be operating in a very narrow corridor in terms of setting interest rates to try and push them lower, but ensure that they don't go negative. Because, you know, 1 month, 3 month bank or swap rates are currently around 8 or 9 basis points. So, yeah, the Reserve Bank runs the risk, if they want to take the cash rate lower from here, that they potentially push the bank bill swap rate into negative interest rate territory, and that's where they said they don't want to go. And so all of that kind of has fed into our view that they're probably happy just to wait and see at the moment, have a look at the budget on Tuesday night, and really be in no rush to change policy settings. And I think it's probably worth just going back to what Governor Lowe said on the 14th of August, which is not all that long ago, when he was speaking at the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Economics. He basically said, we're prepared to do more if we think doing more would get extra traction. And his words, he said this, but judgment at the moment is that given the nature of the problems the country faces, us moving interest rates 5 or 10 basis points isn't really going to make a material difference. There's not going to be much traction from that, and the problems are elsewhere. And look, we agree with that. We don't think all that much has changed in the last few weeks for those comments from the governor to now be redundant. And as I said, that's all part of the reason why we think interest rates are going to be on hold. I think back to your question, though, in terms of what's the most likely thing that they would do at this stage that would constitute sort of more monetary policy stimulus. And we think it's just as simple as buying more bonds. The government will be announcing a very big deficit on Tuesday night. Obviously, that means there's going to be a lot of bond issuance. And the Reserve Bank can quite easily be a little bit more active in the secondary market, purchase a few more bonds. They can potentially go out on the curve if necessary. But to us, that's the most obvious way that most obvious thing that they would do next to basically provide support to the Australian economy.
It's certainly going to be an interesting time, not only with the federal budget next week, but also really starting to hear maybe what the RBA has to say about their next policy option again at its October meeting. Gareth, appreciate your insights as always.
It's good to have a chat.
It was. Now, you can find our budget preview and also our latest thoughts on the RBA at combankresearch.com.au.